Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for the ministry of the word. We thank you for the ministry of your spirit. We thank you for the ministry of the laying on of hands. We thank you for supernatural fellowship and conquering. We thank you for everything that you've put amongst us today, walking, walking. We thank you for the multiplication grace. You have ministered to us. You yet minister. We thank you because we go into our world, our assemblies and our meetings and our activities doing the same things, only with greater fervor, greater consistency and greater results. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We see it again this morning that you shed your light upon our heart in understanding. You will cause us to see as we ought to. Our thought aligned, set aright with your word, seeing your vision, learning your vision, to walk in it, to fulfill it, revelation of your word and of your spirit. This morning, we receive the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We can have our seat briefly. Matthew's Gospel 28. Hallelujah. Quickly. Matthew 28. Amen. The last session, the conference. Have you been blessed so far? All right. So, a workers' conference is a minister's meeting. And so the things we discuss here are things pertaining to the ministry in the local church. Right? In the local church. Amen. Alright. Let me also quickly say that if you're here and you are not a worker in church, and those of you finish your exams, those of us who are writing exams in school, don't be in a hurry to take a trip. Are we together? There's nothing wrong with taking trips. Is that okay? But not be in a hurry. Some of you have planned trips for tomorrow morning. Be patient. So spend tomorrow morning trip. Be patient. Are we together? All right. He said that to pass instructions across to you. You carry out the instruction. When you're done, you can take the necessary trips you want to take. Are we together? And if the trip is not warranted, there's no need taking trips. Sit back and utilize. Put the spirit to use. Are we together? All right. One of the wisdom of multiplication is that you must know the location to walk. The location to walk. There are some walks you will do in another place and it will not bring forth fruit. Or the kind of fruit you're looking for. Amen? Because it's out of context. Hallelujah. In Matthew's Gospel 28, which has been our text, and again, I could not really, I was looking at my notes this morning, just in the first page of my notes, I really couldn't go beyond half. Said one or two things here. Just, this is just where I am. All right. It's okay. In Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we have a mandate to make disciples. Are we together? Now, if you look at the words, don't forget, you have to be careful with what? Words. You have to pay attention to the use of words. Is that okay? You have to pay attention to your words. I said earlier on that even in your communication with people, do not say things that you do not mean, do you not intend. You say, my words betrayed my intention. Don't be like that. Are we together?
For example, you see, for example, a useful that's quite thin. Okay? Well, let me reduce it a bit. A serious young man does not say I love you to a lady that you are not going to get married to. It means you are no serious person. Are we together? Now, you know, there's the general I love you, right? Right? So when we say during birthdays, have we? You say, oh, after you have written many things, oh, I love you, sir. I love you, man. That's fine. But now you are saying a romantic I love you. Are we together? That is stupid. Very stupid. So you do not say things. Are we together? You are cautious with words. You are cautious. You think things through before saying it. Because really, 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 words can cause chaos. But words are God's tool for repair. Are we together? So words, you have to be careful the commitment that you make in words. In words, you have to be careful the information that you divulge, the words. Sometimes if you don't know what to say, keep what? Silent. Or repeat what you said before. Are we together? So words, again, that is for individual, private, personal lives. Now back to what we're looking at. So he said, Jesus came and kept saying to them, he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now, in paying attention to words, if you look at the word go there, it's a word in the Greek which is translated poriomai. Poriomai is spelled P-O-R-E-U-O-A-I. Poriomai. P-O-R-E-U-O-M-A-I in the Greek. And poriomai, you know, I've explained that to you before, severally rather. That phrase, or that word, poriomai, is actually not exactly as it sounds in English. For example, look at this. Look at me, everybody. The text says what? Go into what? All the world. Isn't it? Where were they at that moment? Were they in the space? Were they in the world? So why did you say go into the world? As though they were not in the world. Are we together? So when it says go into the world, we need to check that word. Now when you see poriomai to the Greek man, are we together? The one who speaks Greek, the Grecian, poriomai is a statement that is present continuous. That means, look at me again. When it says, go ye into the world, it means that there will actually be no time that disciples will come and say, I have gone into the world. I am now done. No. It's a present continuous what? Activity. So I checked that word, poriomai, and poriomai reads as you go into the world. So what Jesus was saying is not go into the world, is not the word go, rather it is the word as you go. Are we together? Or another way of putting it is since you go. So he was already talking about what they do. He was not instructing what they should do. The go is descriptive of what they already do. So since you go into the world, preach the gospel.
Mark 16.
Since you go into the world, or as you go into the world, or seeing that you go into the world, because the word go there is an interactive word. So going to the world was not instructing a particular geographic journey. Is that clear? Rather, I was talking about interacting with men. He wasn't saying now, Peter didn't hear go into the world. Interestingly, the people he said go into the world never left Jerusalem. In fact, he told them tarry in Jerusalem. And someone said yes, he said they should tarry until they endure the power. That word until again is another issue. The word until is the word in the Greek that implies while. So he wasn't saying tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you endure with power. So when you endure with power, you now go away. No. That's why they never left Jerusalem, even after being endured with power. They never left. Jesus was not saying stay. When power comes, you will now leave Jerusalem. No. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem while you are endued with power. They understood that the seat of the apostles ought to be in Jerusalem. So even when the day of the Pentecost had come and gone, they remained there even after receiving the power, just like Jesus said. And obviously, a critical view into that text shows that even the receiving of the power will be continuous. So since you go into the world, or as you go into the world, preach the word, the gospel. What does that mean? What does it mean to go into the world? The word refers to men. The word refers to men. So when he says, go ye into the world, or as you go into the world, he was talking about our interactions with people. In other words, as you interact with people, do what? Make disciples. Since you interact with people, do what? Preach the gospel. As you go into the world, make disciples. Bring that into today. How do we interact with people? We go to the marketplaces. We go to workplaces. There are academic institutions where people are enrolled in, and we interact with one another. We interact with people in our academic institutions, universities, polytechnics, colleges, technical schools, health and science schools. Are we together? Which other way do we interact with people? Oh, we watch football, right? Watch football. You play football on the field. We interact with family, siblings. We interact with people on diverse planes. Jesus is saying that as we interact with people, we have a mandate to fulfill. In the midst of our interactions with friends and family, we have what? A mandate. I want you to look around this morning and locate somebody that you have interactions with in the world and has come into the church through you. If there is none, you have not been fulfilling that mandate. I know, yes, we go on evangelism and then we go knocking the door and then we preach the gospel to people. Sometimes you go and then someone is sitting in their office or shop space, and then you engage the person, you start the conversation in the gospel, you get the person, say, baby, feed the Holy Ghost, you even invite the service. We meet strangers. It's okay, because we meet strangers every day, and strangers are part of the intended recipients of the gospel. But look at this. The instruction also says, amiss your relationships. It means, look at this. Your siblings ought to be in the church. your friends, your colleagues at work, us to be in the church. Your classmates in your school, your colleagues in your workplace, your spouse in marriage, your neighbor, people in your neighborhood. Not only strangers, are we together? We have the mandate, he says, every creature. Are we together, church? What does that show us? Before I major on that, in the Matthew 28 text, he says, to go make disciples, he says, every nation. We saw yesterday afternoon and evening that the book of Acts was the fruit of that instruction. Churches. Someone say churches. Churches. Just like today in our church, we also have churches. Cell churches. Are we together? Are we together? That is the mandate. We saw in the book of Acts how that they met daily in the temple. Acts 5. And they also met from house to house. He says, in the temple and house to house, they cease not to preach and to teach Christ. Verse 42. Acts. And then by the time you see the churches in the book of Acts, is now what we read in the epistles. And then you observe that the book of Acts being a summary, it simply mentions the church. You see the church at Philippi. You see the church at Corinth, Acts 18. You see the church at Ephesus, Acts 19. Thessalonica, Acts 17. Are we together? You see the church. But you also observe that in the churches, we're also churches. We're also churches. For example, in Romans 16, you will see in verse 1, it says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. So a sister can be a pastor of a church, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. I hope you are reading that text with me. I take Romans 16 verse 1 again. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant. That's another word for a leader of the church, the pastor of the church which is at Cenchrea. Paul says in verse 2 that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. For she had been a succorer of many and of myself also. He mentioned Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who are for my life laid on their own necks, unto whom I not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. So again, we see a couple, and that couple were pastors. A man and his wife were pastors. Interestingly, it was from Kenneth Hagin I saw that. That was around 2011-2012. It was Kenneth Hagin that pointed my attention to a particular custom in writing, that oftentimes when two people were mentioned in the scriptures, the first person that is mentioned is usually the one with the major role. The major role. Now, I checked a few texts, and it's true. When he mentioned, he says, Aquila and Priscilla, and what? Aquila. It was Kenneth Hagin that showed us that he mentioned Priscilla first. So it was the husband and wife in ministry, but the wife was the leader. Are we together? Because the husband was the Aquila. Priscilla is the wife. Are we together? And they were pastors. He even said, the churches of the Gentiles. In verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So we said, this is a cell church. Salute well-beloved Epinetus, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Then he mentioned another couple, Andronicus and Junia, fellow prisoners, my kinsmen, who are of note among the apostles. So this was a couple, and they were both apostles, who also were in Christ before me, Amplias, mentioned on and on. In verse 10, he says, Apelles, approved in Christ. What does it mean by approved in Christ? You see, 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about being approved. Are we together? Again, he's talking about an effective minister of the gospel. Approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Again, this is another cell pastor. In verse 11, Herodian, household of Narcissus. Again, Narcissus is another cell pastor. Another set of people, says Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord. Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Rufus, his mother, my own. He mentioned Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Emis, and the brethren which are with them. Another word of saying, the church under their care. Philologus, verse 15, Julia, Nerus, and his sister. So you can see a sibling in the church. A sibling. Paul said, my mom. In verse 13 again, salute Rufus and his mother. This is a mother and a son in the church. In the church. Nerus and his sister. These are siblings in the church. So you see couples in the church. Friends in the church. Tryphena, Tryphosa. You will see siblings in the church. You will see parents and their children in the church. Are we together, church? So God's plan is multiplicity. Get there. Okay. So if you look at that, the churches in Acts, the churches, you read on and on. The same thing in 1 Corinthians 16. The same thing goes on and on. So heeding to the instruction to go and make disciples, we now see churches. So look at me, church. When we are obeying that instruction to reach the nations, there will be a definite sign. One of the definite signs is that we are going to have what? Strong churches. Is that clear? Is that clear? So look at me, everybody. A single assembly. I'm talking about the occurrence, not the unity. A single assembly is not God's plan. God's plan is multiplicity of what? Assemblies within and what? Assemblies. That is God's plan. Multiplicity of assemblies within a what? Assembly. That is a ministry blessing many churches. That's God's plan. And sometimes today I hear people complaining and say, oh, there are churches everywhere. There are churches everywhere. I just saw what I said. The churches we have are not yet what? Enough. The challenge we have is not the challenge of many churches. The challenge we have is the challenge of few strong churches. So the multiplicity of churches is never a challenge. Are we together? I listened to one man some years ago. He said that his dream, his vision that God had given him is that there was going to be a church, a branch of his church, the church he pastored. He says they will bring a branch of his church in every electric pole. That's what he said. He says every electric pole, there will be a branch of his church. And everyone will say, that all of this church is just church is just business. If church is business, why not start your own? Maybe church is business. It's just like this church of people. Like this church is the newest business in town. Who is stopping you from starting one? Oh, are you a dummy? Start one now. Are we together? Start an assembly from the scratch. Go out on evangelism. Establish a few folks. Train them to be able to multiply the faith and influence of the gospel. Multiply them. Heal their sick. Cast out devils. Care for their oppressed. Care for their needs. Multiply it into hundreds and thousands. And see the business in it. Are we together? Ungodly demonic exhortations everywhere. May their mouth be shut. Because the churches of God will keep increasing. Redeemed will keep increasing. The Baptists will keep increasing. Are we together? The Anglican will keep increasing. Because the multiplication is God's plan. Yeah, there can be a challenge in, you know, how strong believers are. But see, the multiplication of churches is God's plan. And that's why you mustn't be caught up in such a fruitless and endless, you know, needless conversations. Your focus should not be that why are churches multiplying? Your focus should be in multiplying strong churches. Kenneth Hagin explained a strong church to us. Kenneth E. Hagin said, a strong church is a church where the word of God is properly taught and practiced consistently. The word of God, the scriptures, are properly explained and practiced. And the things of the Spirit are taught and given a free course. And believers are taught to flow in the things of the Spirit in their private lives and in the corporate services. He says that is a strong church. So our concern, our goal, our work, our vision must be to multiply strong churches. How? We saw yesterday that the churches were the fruits of what? The instruction Jesus gave to make what? Disciples. It therefore implies that strong churches are congregations filled with strong disciples. Is that clear? Is that clear? Who is a strong disciple? Everything we said from yesterday morning now comes into application. A strong disciple is a disciple just like Jesus. Who is this Jesus? We saw he preached the word, yes or no? He expounds the scriptures. Jesus is not somebody that you will be around him and you will not understand God's plan in clarity. He will explain it clearly. Jesus is a minister of the gospel who handles the scriptures properly. A strong disciple understands how to explain the Bible. Are you listening to me this morning? A strong disciple understands how to explain the Bible what? Properly. When he handles the scriptures, the plan of God is clear, without ambiguity. Questions are answered. Doubts are clear. Assurances of God's plan is strengthened in people's mind. And as many as hear the words and the explanation of such a strong disciple find themselves in the center of God's plan for their life, that is a strong disciple. A strong disciple is someone who knows how to handle the scriptures. He will explain. He will not seek to teach a particular text for gain. He will not seek to teach a particular text because he wants to have a kind of influence on people's lives that is undue. He does not twist the scriptures. A strong disciple does not say stupid things like, how does that explanation bring food to our table? No, he understands that Bible texts are explained in order to help people to worship God, not to meet their pocket needs. That is a strong disciple. He comes into this training by following and listening. A strong disciple is a strong follower. He follows Jesus. And he follows Jesus as he follows his disciple, a leader. We can say the pastor of the assembly. Because look at this, everyone. Look at me. Look at me. Now, in an assembly, you have disciples. Is that how we have it in the book of Acts? See, let me tell you something. Quit the Christianity that does not replicate to you the book of Acts. Quit it. Any practice of Christianity that is not replicating the book of Acts is set to waste your worship. It will waste it. You quit it. You quit it. And you stay where you are and you pay attention to what you are receiving. Are we together? Are we here? So look at that. We said, in the local church, there are many disciples. Now look at me, everybody. The local church is a ministry team. And on the team, look at me now. The attention of every team member must always be on the word, on the leader. Is that clear? Is that clear? Your attention is on the word, on the leader. Don't say, my attention should be on Jesus. I thought it should be on Allah. Your attention on the leader, the shepherd in the assembly, is your attention on Jesus. That is why the shepherd has a duty to model him. To model Jesus. Because the structure that Jesus has put in his church is that you are to follow your pastor in everything that he does and say. Which is the reason why we are also instructed, are we together, to pray for our pastors. So that they can always get it right and do what is right. Because that is the structure that Jesus has said. When he misses it, you will miss it. That is the structure. So pray for him. Do you get it? Do you get it? You pray for yourself, leader. You pray for yourself, pastors. You pray for your local church pastor. Because the structure that God has set in the church, are we together? Is that the flock, the congregation of God, will look to the leader, the shepherd, and they will know what to do. I'll talk about the office of a shepherd way, way, way later. Not in this conference. Are we together? Look at Numbers 27 quickly. I just show you something there. In Numbers 27, if you're there, say amen. In Numbers 27, and then in verse 17, I want us all to read together. Numbers 27, verse 15 to 17, are you there? Let us read together. I want to go. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation which may go out before them, and which may what? Go in before them, and which may what? Lead them out, and which may what? Bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Take that test again. 1, 2, go. Take that test again. 1, 2, go. You are here. Someone is trying to open the test. You can't help him. Are you a worker in church? Numbers 27, verse 17. Let us read Numbers 27. Are you there now? Verse 17. Everybody. Numbers 27. Are you there now? Are you there now? So let us read together loudly. 1, 2, go. Verse 15 to 17. 15 to 17. 1, 2, go. Which may go out before them, and which may what? Go in before them. Now, the going out and going in, you and I know is not literal. Are we together? Then it says, which may what? Lead them where? He may what? Lead them what? And bring them in. So, lead them out, bring them in. It talks about leadership and followership. Somebody who shows them what to do. He says that the congregation of the Lord. So whose congregation is it? Whose congregation is it? So is the church the pastor's church? No. It is the Lord's church. The congregation is the congregation of the Lord. Moses is talking to the Lord that the Lord will appoint a person to lead and guide, and the Lord is there. The Lord himself is there. So the office of the pastor or the leader of the congregation, like the cell leader, are we together? Or the pastors in the church, the leader in the church, the office is that they are standing in the stead of God. They will minister the things of God to us, including direction that God wants us to follow part time. Why? Because the church of Jesus Christ is an army, a supernatural army. Are we together? So, a disciple ought to be what? A strong disciple. I can even drop the word strong and just use the word what? Disciple. And expect that in your mind, when I say disciple, you already know that what is disciple if it's not a strong disciple? Are we together? In fact, if it is not a strong disciple, we can't really call it a disciple yet. So, a disciple is a follower. So, when we say a strong disciple, we are referring to a strong follower, an ardent follower, someone that adheres to a path. Exactly, church. You can call it an exceptional follower. That's a strong disciple. An exceptional follower. This one is an exceptional follower. This one is an exceptional follower of our pastor. An exceptional follower of the ministry of Jesus Christ in the church. An exceptional follower of Jesus. So an assembly of exceptional followers is what we refer to as a strong word, church. Is that clear? So we said yesterday already that the local assembly is the ground for discipleship. To raise strong disciples. Are we together? Strong disciples. A disciple that knows how to handle the scriptures. I say it again, I emphasize it. Handle the scriptures. He knows how to explain the scriptures. Even if the Bible is not with him, he's not holding the Bible like this. Are we together? We're not told whether John had a copy of the scriptures with him that he was reading from on the road to Emmaus. But we knew that Jesus had his heart, his mind filled as though he has memorized all the texts of the scriptures. Memorize everything. Are we together? Memorize everything. He understands what the text are saying. Because as a lifestyle, he studies the word. He listens to teachings. He is in the services. She is in the meetings. There is no teaching meeting going on and she is missing. Anybody who has a custom of missing church meetings, are we together? Label the person. The person is not what? A disciple. It's not. Jesus had people like that. Jesus had people who tag along. They just tag along. They like the idea of being, you know, identified with Jesus. But they are not taking to his trainings. You must recognize people like that. You must recognize. That is a strong disciple. Number two, a strong disciple understands the things of the Spirit. Don't forget what I'm talking about. We said a disciple is somebody who has a form of training. When you see a disciple, you will see a sign that this one is being discipled. When you move close to him, you will see activities of discipleship going on. So he is both discipled and is also being discipled. He has been following. He is also following. Are we together? So he is in between training. He has a training. He is undergoing what? A training. Many times, obviously, he is also training. So he is training others, even as he or she is also being trained. A disciple. So a disciple, a strong disciple, has a good grasp of the things of the Spirit. A strong disciple understands the indwelling of the Spirit. He understands the leading of the Spirit. He has been taught. He has studied what has been taught over and over. He has practiced it. He has a custom of practicing the teaching of the word. He is not around in the church to just pass time away. A strong disciple is not one who is in the church till he graduates from school. No. A strong disciple is not one that is in the church till he gets a better job and escapes. A strong disciple is not a disciple who is managing in the church till he blows. No. A disciple of Jesus, a strong disciple, is present and ever present to build and to serve. He understands the leading of God's Spirit. He can minister the things of the Spirit. Like Jesus said, receive ye the Spirit. He knows how to put the Spirit upon. He understands the things of the Spirit. A strong disciple in the church knows and how to, and he does get people filled with the Holy Ghost. A strong disciple. He knows how to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. How to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. A strong disciple in ministering the things of the Spirit knows how to get the sick healed. How does he know these things? It doesn't come to you because you slept on the right side of your bed. It comes to you through consistent training and application of teaching. Because you are following. Because you're following. We tell the disciple of Jesus Christ, oh, get this person filled. He's not saying, sir, I don't know how to get the person filled. No. A disciple doesn't, that one is not a disciple of Jesus. It's a time waster. You don't know how to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. So what's the sign that you are born again? He says, this shall follow them that believe. That's why I showed you that this is not that you are speaking in tongues, though. They shall speak with new tongues. Describes how you will get people to talk in tongues. It's offensive. It's your ministry. Your signs are your ministry. So if you look at those four things, it says they shall scatter devils. A disciple of Jesus is not afraid that, sir, who am I? Like one fellow who just cast out devils some years ago. And the guy was so afraid. He said, one preacher told them that if you cast out demons, anyone can come back to meet you at night. I said, why is it night? Are we together? Why is it night? Why not during the day? That means they are afraid. Are we together? Are we together? That means they are afraid. Now during the day. Amen. A disciple of Jesus understands the believer's authority. He knows that what he is doing is in the name of Jesus. And so if a demon has something against what he had done, the demon goes to Jesus because you did it on his behalf. Are we together? He casts out devils. He works miracles. A disciple of Jesus, in being taught, trained, practiced of the things of the Spirit, can work miracles. He's a miracle worker. And in miracle working, he gives people supernatural experiences. Hallelujah. That's a disciple. Glory to God forevermore. In Acts 9, we see an example of a disciple. Acts 9. Quickly, everyone. I have just about 20 minutes. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Acts 9. He says, and he's a journey. Verse 3. He came near Damascus and saw the day shine round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. And had a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. Now look at verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. Verse 10, everyone, can we read together once ago? And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. Look at this. When God wants to get things done in a location, he looks for certain men. Those are strong disciples. Those are strong disciples. They make up strong churches. Ezekiel! Why do we need another church in that community for discipleship to be going on there? No. Your church is there. It is enough. We will give you time. Multiply it. How can a church be in a community and people are being ravaged by sickness and diseases, and there's a ministry of Jesus there? People are confused. There's no place around where people can go and learn the word of God in simplicity. Nowhere where sorrow painstakingly, discipleship is being carried out, and you claim to have a church, close it! Close it! Are we together? The Lord has a church there. The Lord has a disciple there. Are we together? Are we together? I said, are we together? A ministry training center. The local church. It will take time. But the time is to help you to cover more grounds. But because you are there, we need no other. Are we together? Are we together? I said this before, I say it now. That if your absence, are we together? If your presence in a place cannot be felt, then your absence cannot be felt. And if your absence cannot be felt, then you were never needed. It means that when you are somewhere as a believer, you make your presence what? Known and felt through consistent and progressive impact. Church on fire. Are we together, church? Are we here? When you are present in the office, on campus, in the cell, in the church, wherever, in your family, see, you must give people what? Supernatural what? Experiences. Your home should know what it means to have a disciple of Jesus as a daughter. As a son, where will your family not know what it means to have a family member as a disciple of Jesus? As touching how you minister the word, your walk of faith, you walk in love, you pray, and you minister the things of the Spirit when the need arises. A family member is sick, you are the first one to run everywhere to get drugs. You buy that drug, you buy the other 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 drug. Are you a drug dealer? He says you shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will what? Go on it! And command that tiny needle wielding demon to go back to hell. To go back to hell. Are we together? Are we together? And look at it. There are times when you also need reinforcement. Reinforcement. Whatever was happening there, Peter was not having it. He wasn't having it. But he had a reinforcement of Jesus around him. I have prayed for you. Whatever was happening there, Peter and John, they felt threatened. But there was an assembly they went back to. Asked for, we read yesterday. Are we together? They went back to the assembly. You must have a company. Because the world will demand for you, from you, the things of God. You must be ready to deliver. Are we together, church? You must be able to deliver Bible doctrine and apply it. The things of the Spirit, healing the sick, stopping demonic activities. He said, they shall take up serpents. Are we together? And if they drink any deadly drink, they shall not what? On them. That is a sign of a strong disciple. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So there are moments where you will need reinforcement. And you must discern those moments. Because when those moments arise, and you do not deploy the reinforcement, you might suffer a casualty. And yet, it is you that you were foolish. There must be those 2-3 people around you, or even more, an assembly, a church, that you can rally around to effect the power of God to cause a necessary change in a very timely measure and fashion. A disciple of Jesus, the things of the Spirit. He gets the sick healed. He casts out devils. A disciple of Jesus. He can raise the dead. He can minister the power gifts, the revelatory gift. A disciple of Jesus can minister word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Can function by the descending of spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. He has a strong charismatic ministry. 3. A disciple of Jesus has an unparalleled measure, unparalleled depth of prayer life. He has a strong prayer life. A disciple of Jesus is someone that, just like Jesus, has come to see praying. Are we together? As what? A ministry. Praying is a ministry. If you are in our church, by now you know that praying is a ministry. We have prayed every Monday of the year over 5 to 6 years non-stop. As that is going on, we have prayed every Friday of the year 3 to 4, 5 years non-stop. That one shows you that prayer here is a ministry. Because a word church must be a praying church. Must be a praying church. Some say, I don't really believe in this kind of prayer. I believe that prayer is fellowship. Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is, you know, you just come and, you know, it's not supposed to be something, it's not supposed to be stress. I mean, you are talking to your daddy. Oh, didiri. You're talking to your daddy and demon is slapping you. Or what's that AO that is in your cheek? Or what is it that is big like this, that is usually in demon's cheek? What do they call it? Is it? And I'm not fighting anybody, but your own, as you're called 5 times this year. Are you telling it? Say, hey, prayer is supposed to be fellowship, you know. You are cold. You are cold. Sometimes, when you don't have opposition, listen to me clearly. When you don't sense any opposition, nothing is opposing you. Nobody is opposing you. No circumstance is opposing you. I pick from Kennedy King. It might just be that you are walking down the road in the same direction with Satan. You are not doing anything that threatens him. I learned it over 10 to 15 years ago. Kennedy King materials. Kennedy King said it. That many times when there is no opposition at all, it could just be that you and Satan, you are walking down the same road in the same direction, only on two opposite lanes. But both of you, but you are going on the same lane. You are no threat to him at all. I don't have such a ministry. Are we together? A disciple of Jesus, a strong disciple, has a strong prayer life. And three things make up a strong prayer life. Number one is the burden to pray. The actual occurrence of prayer, the practice of prayer, that you actually pray. Number two are the concerns that you put forth in prayer. What your prayer focuses on. Does it focus on you and your needs? Or does it focus on God and the needs of God? I told you, and I'll tell you again, I shared this at Keeping the Avenue Tradition, that prayer is actually a God-ordained system. Listen to this. Listen to this. Look at me. God was the one who instituted that thing called what? Prayer. Now, pay attention. Prayer is a God-ordained institution to meet not the needs of man, but the needs of God on the earth. Prayer is an institution of God to meet the needs of God on the earth. That means when I come to pray, a strong prayer life is that I have spent time talking to God about, not, look at this, not about my needs, though. About what? His needs. That is prayer. Do I pray about my needs? Yes. When you are sure that you are in the light in talking about your needs, because what you are discussing has a link to God's needs. Or else, you are a selfish person. When your needs lead to his needs being met, when for his needs to be done, there is a particular need of yours or around you that needs to be what? Taken care of. At that moment, you will find yourself talking to God and you are mentioning your own words, needs. Why? Because it applies to you. See, that is, see. Many times, that is how to get answers to the things you desire in prayer. Even your supplication will be weak because your focus is myopic and selfish. Myopic and selfish. So, a strong disciple, a strong prayer life, the practice of prayer, the content of prayer. And look at this. the consistency of praying. I pray. These are the things I pray about. This is how often I pray it. Makes a strong prayer life. Number four, the disciple of Jesus is a minister of the gospel. The disciple of Jesus is one who raises disciples. So look at this. In a church, we don't have people who are called to the ministry plus those who are not called to the ministry. Everybody in the church is called what? To the ministry. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 now. Talk for 10-15 more minutes and I'll close this morning. Ezekiel Church, 2 Corinthians 5, quickly. Verse 17. If you are there, say amen. And let us read together once you go. Therefore, wait, before you read that, look at verse 13. Let's read together once you go. For whether we beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. 14. For the love of Christ considered us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're what? All dead. 15. And that he that died for all, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto, they say, I don't live unto myself. I don't live unto myself. He says, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Say, I live unto him which died for me and rose again. Can we take 16 together? Once we go. Wherefore, henceforth, we know we no man after the flesh. Yeah. We have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. 17, everyone wants to go. Therefore, if any man in Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, all things have become new. 18, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself and had given unto us what? So how many of us have the ministry of reconciliation? If you have the ministry of reconciliation, can you raise your hand? If you have that ministry of reconciliation, can you raise your hand? Amen. Say, I have the ministry of reconciliation and I fulfill my ministry. Now look at verse 19. Everybody want to go. To we that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, for the period that presented unto them, and has committed unto us the word of what? Of reconciliation. So every one of you has the ministry. In Ephesians 4, he says he gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the work of, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Look at that text also, look at that text also, look at that text also, look at that text also. Ephesians 4, quickly. A disciple is fast, sharp with the scriptures. You are not looking for Corinthians in the book of Chronicles. Are we together? We said you should open to Nahum. You thought we said Nahum. You're asking question. Who is it? No. We said Nahum, not the pigeon Nahum. Are we together? Nahum is a book. Open to 1 Chronicles. We're in 1 Corinthians. Are we together? Don't you open to Songs of Solomon? You went to Proverbs. He said, did Solomon sing? No, he cried. Are we together? So look at the text, Ephesians 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. Can we take verse 11 together? If you are there, say amen. Let us read together. If you have said amen, want to go. And the gifts of apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints. For I told you to always remove that comma. That comma affects your understanding. You know, if you put the comma there, you will read three things. Right? For the perfection of the saints, comma. For the work of the ministry, comma. For the edifying of the... No. That's completely different from what the writer is saying. Remove the comma and read again. Remove that comma and read again. Verse what now? Verse 12, right? Let us read together. I want to go. For the perfection of the saints, for... Read it again. Want to go. For the perfection of the saints, for... So wait. Who will edify the body of Christ? The saints. Who will perfect the saints? The verse 11, right? So they are perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. That work of ministry is the edifying of the body of Christ. Is that clear? So you perfect the saints for the work of. So who is doing the work of the ministry? Is it the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, or the saints? The saints. Did you see it now? So the saints are the ones doing the work of the ministry. But the ministry offices, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, they will perfect the saints. That word perfecting is the word catechismus. It means to give you necessary equipment. They will equip you to do the work of the ministry. So it shows you that the pastor is not the one to do the work of the ministry. The pastor is the one that trains the saints to do the work of the ministry. Does the pastor do the work of the ministry? Yes, as a saint too. Did you get it? So the pastor also does the work of the ministry as a saint also. But the pastoral office is to train the rest. That's why the pastor is the model disciple. He must handle the scriptures well. He must demonstrate and practice and walk in the things of the Spirit well. He must have, develop, maintain, and progress in a strong prayer life. Are we together? He must raise well-behaved, godly disciples. So look at that. So the work of the ministry, the work of the ministry. How do I close this? The work of the ministry is done by, look at this, the worker. So who is the worker? The worker in the church is the one who does the work of what? The ministry. Are we together? What is the work of the ministry? Raising strong disciples. So a worker, we are home now, is the one who raises disciples. Is he himself a disciple? Is she herself a disciple? Yes. But the foremost, the primary work of a worker, when we say worker, so don't forget we said a disciple has a training, right? But it's also what? Undergoing a training. Are we together? That is why in our church, we describe workers as what? Workers in training. Which is to show you that you are a worker and you are still undergoing what? Training for more. For more. So a church worker is not the person that sings. Even though in our church, only workers are in the music team. Where is the music team here? We know what we are doing here. There's nobody that can join this church within a few weeks because you have a sonorous voice. When you sing, Jesus will come down. He'll just get down from his father's throne. Say, I will enter. And then Jesus is throwing all the dancers, tearing steps. If you are that kind of singer, if you like, sing anything. You will wait for weeks and months. You better join workforce here. How we together? The reason is because we prioritize your soul. And we prioritize it. We don't want you to stand before Jesus on the last day without reward. Are we together? So we prioritize your spiritual capacity and growth and development over activities. There are some churches like that. There are some churches. It's just activities. How will someone join your church and in 1 month, depending on the worker? Ah! Yeah, need plan. You don't have plan. You don't have plan. 2 months. 2 months. 3 months. This is already a worker. The preacher has not even understood the mission of Jesus for that local church. Are we together? Not understood. 1 month, 2 months. Some people, some churches. I'm not making it up. I think that someone comes to church today, next week, is a worker. Ah! Sadano. Sadano. Fear yourselves. Are we together? Are we together? 1 month. 1 month. 1 month. Hey, the worker. Do you know who a worker is? Do you know who a worker is? That's why a lot of people burn out. You know, people burn. There's no basis. There's no understanding. How do you claim that you want to serve somebody you don't know? No. And in our church here, we don't use other people's training. No, we will train everybody. We train our hands. We have the capacity and the grace. We are trainers here. We equip you with ministry. You will be properly trained. Properly. Are we together? And the church has a plan for you before you arrive. There's structure. You come around. They see people. Someone say, let me help you to lift chairs. And they didn't allow you to lift chairs. You can't lift a chair. Sit down. Learn the Lord. Know Him. When you know Him, you will love Him. When you love Him, you will now serve Him. Don't rush. Come around. Sit down and know Him. Know Him. As you know Him, you will love Him more. As you love Him more, serving Him will be an effortless fruit of a strong knowledge of the person, the character, and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? It's 1 month. We had the workers. So come to your church, and within 6 months, the person is already the youth leader. I commend my reserve. Are we together? I commend my reserve. Amen. Amen. A strong disciple. So strong churches are congregations of strong disciples. And the disciples there are referred to as what? Workers. Because they do the work of the ministry. When a worker is functioning in his office, It shows that a worker is an office and will continue from here in 2027. Analyze and workers conference. So the worker is an office. There's the office of the worker. It's a function. It's not a cliche. It is not an appellation. Is not a tag. It is a ministry. A worker in the church. How did the apostles describe a worker? Quickly. And then I'll close here. In 2 Timothy 2, run through some text. This is not a place where I say, go by it at home. Are we together? In 2 Timothy 2, quickly. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Look at the word. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, lightly dividing the word of truth. A workman, which is the word egates. E-G-E-R-T-E-S, egates. Egates is another word used for in Matthew 9, as a laborer. When Jesus says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That word laborer is the word what? Egates. Look at me, everyone. Who is a laborer? A laborer is somebody that works. And when he's working, he toils at it. Because hear me clearly and clearly and clearly again. To get anything done effectively requires a massive amount of effort. You all know that. Those of you in campus, you know what it takes. By now, you know what it takes to eat first class. Or you don't know? You don't know? It's not about being brilliant, though. Are we together? The brilliance, you get some work behind. Hard work!
enter on that level.
Say, I'm going to be, by first semester, I'm already going to be in first class. And then by second semester, I will maintain it. But then you see a test result.
Yeah, but what I read did not come out.
The way I'm hearing, what I read did not come out. Just,
what was said, were you not taught?
Were you not taught? He said, how was the exam, sir? It was fine. So how was it? It was fine.
How was it?
How was it? And where there were 5 questions. How many did you answer? I answered 2.5. Kinoshele, is it time? You know, it can be time. When time is the issue, that means you are really stocked up. You went with all the textbook.
But yeah, it's not time. There's 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, D has Roman figure 1, Roman figure 2, Roman figure 3 and 4, and that one have Roman numeral 1, 2, 3 and 4. I was just able to do 1A and 1E.
A and E. Accident and emergency. That's your result! That's your result! The A and E. I'm Amen! You know what you teach your spirit to? Are we together? You can't walk there with your result. Amen! Just take your result with A and E. Immediately I give them drip, 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 drip. My result needs a drip. Nurse! Are we together? So what about question 2? I knew some of it. But then you write the exam, and then the moment you are done with the exam, you came out, and then you discover someone say, question 2. You have people, I hate those people that always discuss after exam. I hate them. Keep going. I got it now. We have the part tomorrow. Don't give me heart attack now. Amen. And then we just finished paper. It was in that paper I knew how many columns the ceiling has. I was looking up, but not unto God for help. I was trying to, oh God. And then, finished the exam. 3 hours paper. Worked out. And then I say, what is the answer to question 2A? Question 2A. I say, question 2A is kidney. But I remember I was using calculator. I check the question again. He said, I was using calculator now, but the answer is kidney. I need a kidney, I need a kidney, I need a kidney. My son needs a kidney. Amen. The first class is not about brilliance alone, it is work. It was in my 200 level I knew. I told you, I was willing to meet the guys. That was when I got into anatomy reading room. Now the anatomy reading room was next to cadaver, University of Badon. There was already space for Marlene and all of that. Yeah. But I was in the midst of medical students. That's how I picked up how to read. It was in 200 level I knew how to read for 17 hours stretch. I mean non-stop. I look at those guys. It's just like dummy. Between the dead body, the cadaver, and the medical student, you can't tell which one is alive. You're looking at a book like this. You know, just like that. All his head is standing like the head of the dead body. And he's reading about the dead body next to him. 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours. Those guys are sitting. I see the girls. So I say, you running? I will not stand up from this table until that guy and that corner stands up. And I read, I look at you. I'm no more reading. He said, I slept. The next thing I just remember is that I was just seeing visions, and then look at the time. 10 hours has gone. I hear you. Look up. The guy is still reading. You know, I learned how to read. So I said, priming, till I merged up. Are we together? So the first class comes with much what? Work. Some people, it's not that you are not brilliant. You have not seen somebody to put you through the necessary measure of work for such level of productivity. together. The same thing. Marriages work through much sacrifice and labor. Whatever it is that works and brings forth effective fruits always require a measure of labor. In your careers too. Your career, you have to labor at it. You have to always show up. Always show up. You always show up. You always show up. There are times when you wake up in the morning and feel like, I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere today. But you have to show up at work. You have to go to class. You have to take the trip. You have to be in church. Are we together? So a laborer is somebody that works on something. And when he's working, he does what? He toils at it. He sweats at it. When last did you do pre-sweating? Alone, no. Alone. I know we sweat a lot when we are together. But you are praying alone and you are sweating. Alone and you are sweating. When last did you study the scriptures? And you study for so long that when you got up, you were so you had lost energy. Studying the scriptures. Studying the scriptures. When last did you go on evangelism? And you preach so much that when we're done, you'll be like, come on. You have lost energy. And you do that consistently. Consistently. Someone now comes and I say, I saw your church members. They are exceptional. Someone was telling me some days ago, or some weeks ago now. I said, I was going on outreach, and then I was trying to reach out to somebody, but I saw somebody had got there first. The person is here, but I didn't tell the person. So the person said, the person he wanted to reach, one of our leaders now, or one of our workers, now maybe crossed over and got to that person first. So he deliberately waited. Now he's a pastor of a church in town. So he deliberately waited, and then he didn't know that that person was from church. So he deliberately waited. He now wanted to evangelize the evangelizer and the evangelizee. You know that tactics. Well, tactics. So you're already going to reach someone. Then you now saw somebody else approaching the person, and it's clear that he wanted to reach him. You now waited so that the two of them can meet, so that you can now grab the two of them. So when he came close, he began to listen to the explanation. By the time the person was done teaching, he asked him, he said, is that Word Life Revival Church? Then he said, yes. He said, it can only be. And not saying that to pride, are we together? We were talking about, in this city. In this city. Someone will explain like that. Obviously. Because we are not jokers here. There was a team, the first team I trained in Ilorin for evangelism. I trained them on one notion. That was in 2017, 2018. The first team I trained for evangelism. I trained them on a singular notion. I say ensure that in your preaching of the gospel, as long as the audience gives you audience to talk, ensure by the time you are done talking, there is no area of doubt in the mind of your audience as touching salvation. Answer every question. So leave him to now be the one. Ensure that the person not demonstrating faith in salvation was not because something was not clear. Nibu, kuni kleke. Are we together? You explain every text clearly, no rushing. Every single text. The person will ask the question, and you know the kind of city we are. That is someone who say, you are telling the person to receive salvation. The person say, why is your scare? Why do Christians wear trousers? Are you okay? You will just go to hell with your questions. Go and you will go and ask the wealthy rich man in hell. Are we together? You go and ask the man in hell. Why Christians say, we are saying that you should receive salvation. He said, why are there many translations of the Bible? Question you, but anyway, you better receive yourself before you die. Are we together? I know you really need to take questions. But there are times when people ask you questions that for them to believe, that question, that doubt is standing on the way. A minister of the gospel, you must have the answer. Who trained you that you don't have the answer? Who trained you? Which church are you from? A Muslim asks a question that surely will clear a doubt and get him into faith, you don't have the answer. You answered in a shabby way. You just dribbled the Muslim. And he knows he dribbled it. Maybe I'll think about it. He just dribbled it. And you know, that text actually, Jesus was not really born of a woman. Are we together? Answer the questions. A strong disciple. Handles the scriptures properly. A strong disciple ministers the things of the Spirit. A strong disciple does what? A strong disciple has a strong prayer life. And a strong disciple does the work of the ministry. And a worker in the church is a toiler. Look at another text. Then I'll begin to close. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, quickly. A toiler. Someone say a toiler. Say, I toil at God's work. Say, I toil at God's work. You know how we will know that you're already catching the spirit of a toiler. You don't miss services. It's the most basic. Ibolowa. Services is the most basic instructions in our church. The most basic. That is the only instruction that every single person has, including a first timer. Be in the next meeting. Because everything you ever become in the faith is attached to being in each meeting one after the other. Can you not tell that I'm saying the truth? Be in the meeting. Only whitey. Be in the meeting. Your attitude to missing meetings is the same thing, is your demonstration of how you'll be missing in God's plan after a while. You don't know. You will not be found in God's plan. You will not be found. Your attitude to meetings. So it's a sign that you're already understanding the toiling, the consistency, the diligence that fruitfulness requires, is that you are present in all meetings and you don't come to meetings late. Service is 8 o'clock. Don't rush in like a Christmas goat that escaped. Service is 8 o'clock. You got in at 10:30. Ah! You are now sweating all over. So, baby. No, Saloni. You are now telling Joshua, open this gate. Gate to that, will look off my door. You can see if we. Get Bashu will look for Adonika Shifu. Close it down there. You stay outside. And receive the word of God outside. Open this gate. Which gate? Which gate did you build the allowance that you gave to us as a church? Get to what? Is the gate of your own house open? Arrive in the church. With that prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Not 7 o'clock. 6 o'clock. 6 to 8. 2 hours. Although it's not what I go, I say, you have not been consistent in church. You know, he says in your church. I say, my church care. Why are you accusing me? He said, you know your church. I was talking about that. Do I not know my church again? He said, you know your church. Your church. I feel like, he said, your church. What happens to your church? He said, you know your church, every day. What is every day? You are just ungodly. You don't love God. You are wicked. No. She will be accused of me. I will accuse you too. Oh, you think you can ever make me sorry for doing what Jesus asked me to do? Some people are like that. Oh, you just begin to feel somehow that you know your church. As they say, you know, you're in a cult. You know, is my church a cult? Why do you want to tip me and make me to feel so? I should be feeling sorry for telling you to do what Jesus, your Savior, is asking you to do.
come of it. I passed that decade ago.
Pray. Agbadura. You pray. In discipleship, we don't encourage people to do the things God wants. We make them to do it. Make disciples. No, sir. He said, make disciples. That means you will make people pray. You make them to pray. You make them to go out to preach. By the time you've done that for a while, you will see the beauty of a transformed life. Because only when you fix his need, his power fixes your need. And there are many needs you have, you don't even know they are your needs until they are fixed. You just discover that some things have fallen off. Your relationships have changed. Your judgment has sharpened. You are now making sound decisions. The path ahead you is clear. And by the time you look around and you look at your mates, you observe there is a clear difference. You can't even begin to imagine how your life will be if you have not followed the path of the ministry. Because the imagination of how your life would be is so far away from where it is now, you can't even catch up with that imagination.
You can't catch up.
It's like someone asking me today and saying, can you try and imagine? Just imagine and tell us. Just try to imagine and tell us how your life would have been if you had not obeyed the Lord and going through the ministry. The truth of the matter is that I will not be able to tell you. Because that gap is too wide now. I will not be able. Whatever I tell you, I will not be able to tell you. The gap is wide. I can't imagine. I can't conceive that imagination again. The gap is now wide. I'm set on the course that I will follow.
Are we together? I spoke to you before about a group of people like that in UI then, around 2013. There was this group that they were praying for us. They were praying that, that group, they will not backslide. Someone now came around, an elder president came around, and they came to our meeting, and then he said, I pray for you. You guys will not backslide. I did not say amen. Well, if it's today, I'll say amen. I did not say amen. So, and he was looking at me, I did not say amen. So, the time someone now came and said, you did not say amen. I said, I can't hear the prayer I was praying. He said, will not backslide. Backslide came. Me, I'm thinking about 500 churches in 7 continents. Backslide. Nibo. It's not a question of I feel that I can never fall. It's not in my imagination. I'm thinking of 1,000 workers within the city. Every major city in Nigeria, 1,000 workers, 100 cell churches in every city in Nigeria. I'm thinking about planting churches, fellowship centers, pastoral fellowship centers in all the major campuses and polytechnics in Nigeria. I'm talking about Brazilian. OTG, no. I don't conceive it. There's nothing behind me I'm trying to get. No. I burned the bridges long ago. Are we together? That is the ministry. That is what the grace of God enables us to be able to do. It is the work of the Spirit. There is a depth of conviction that the Spirit of God bears in your heart that you cannot see any other thing again but the way forward. As numerous as the challenges, as large as the challenges coming, you will be seeing yourself entering through and making way because the Lord is with you. Mission is possible. Are we together, church? I said, are we together, church? So a laborer toils at it. He toils at it. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. That's our closing. In Luke 10. You already observed I can't share all my thoughts. Are we together? I have to do pockets. Amen. In Luke 10, he says the laborers are few. He will send for laborers into his harvest. So it shows you that the harvest of God, God already gave a job description to the persons he needs. Luke's Gospel chapter 10, the same thing we saw in Matthew 9, in 36 to 38. You see, Luke's Gospel chapter 10, I'll read it again.
in verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are what? Few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth what? More laborers into his harvest. So God's plan is a multiplicity of toilers. Ask your neighbor, say, are you a toiler? The opposite of a toiler is a dozer. You are just dozing about, tagging about. No, I don't tag along. I don't tag about. I am a toiler in his house. And I have my portion. And I have my spoil. And I have my inheritance. I'm a toiler. And I have the grace and the help of God. Luke 10:2, a toiler. Paul mentions the same word, egatis. That word laborer, which you just read, is the word egatis. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, again we see the word egatis. And in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, he says in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. That means God himself is described in the scriptures as a toiler. Jesus said, my Father walks, so I walk. Are we together? He says, the things that I do, the things I see my Father do. So God is a what? A toiler. In the scriptures, in John 15, he describes the Father as the husbandman. He didn't say husband, the man. Husbandman. He says, I am the vine, you are the what? Branches, and my Father is what? Husbandman. The husbandman is the one who labors and tends to the vine. So God is described as a toiler in scripture. So a worker in church is a worker together with God. And if God's work is described as labor, then Paul had rightly said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, we are laborers together with God. Are we together, church? Laborers together with God. Are we together, church? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and then in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6 and then in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, who is him? Again, we are read chapter 5 verse 17, which you just read now. It says to wit verse 19 that God was in Christ and consigned the world unto himself. It says, and had not imputed their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, who pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We then, as workers together with God. So look at me, everybody. It means righteousness is a toiling. I know you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am righteous. I am justified. But the Bible also teaches righteousness as a work, a toiling. You will show me your nose after this conference. Are we together? The Bible also describes righteousness as a what? As a toiling. A toiling. Why? Because righteousness means to set things aright. It takes labor. You and I know that now, right? It takes labor. The labor of prayer, the labor of teaching, the labor of evangelism, the labor of checking up, the labor of calling people, labor of following up, labor of caring for them, labor of welfare, just like the book of Acts. It takes labor. Righteousness requires labor because it is to set things right. So in ministering God's righteousness, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, we then as what? Workers together. The same word egatis. It is the same word translated laborers together. Laborers together. Laborers together. In Philippians 1 verse 24. Philippians 1. So a worker is a fellow laborer. A fellow laborer with the Lord through the pastor. A fellow laborer with who? With Jesus through who? The pastor. So I labor together with Jesus by laboring together with his shepherd. My pastor. I labor together with Jesus by laboring together with my pastor. I labor together with Jesus by laboring together with my pastor. I labor together with my pastor by laboring together with my cell pastor. That is how it goes. Laborers together with God. That shows you that a worker in the church understands the vision of Jesus for a local church. One of the questions you must ask me, if you are listening to my voice this morning, that you must ask consistently and remind yourself of the answer is, what is the vision of Jesus for our church? You must ask the question. You must get the answer. You must remind yourself of that answer every time. Another way of asking that same question is this: what is pastor trying to achieve? What is pastor trying to do? Because we are a laborer together with him. So a worker is a laborer together with God. A laborer together with God. A worker, are we together? Is a laborer together with God. Are we together? Are we together? A laborer together with the Lord. Now in Philemon verse 24. Philemon 24. Are you opening there? He says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my what? Men are not there. Men are not there. Men are not there. Philemon, verse 24. Everyone read, want to go. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. So they are also fellow laborers with their pastor. That means I can say, just like Paul, Rachel, I can say Bolu, I can say Ivan, I can say John, I can say Daniel, I can say Blessing, I can say Chiaka, I can say Kende, I can say Samuel, and then I will say my fellow laborers. Did you get it? So a worker is a fellow laborer with God. He's also a fellow laborer with his pastor, with her pastor, fellow laborer. The word sunergos, S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S, S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S. You find that word also in Colossians 4 and then verse 11. Are you there? In Colossians 4, it says, verse 11, and Jesus, which is called what? Justus. Who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a what? A comfort unto me. Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Then, verse 19, say to Archippus, take it to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. So we have a worker in that church who was not paying attention to the ministry. But Paul noted those who were supportive, who were fervent, who paid attention to execute and to fulfill their ministry in the Lord. He mentioned in 15, he mentioned Luke, he mentioned Demas, he mentioned the brethren in Laodicea, Nymphas, the church which is in their house. These were all workers. He calls them my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. He says, this only. In the church at Colossae, he says, this only. This only. In Philippians 2, we see another word that is used to describe a worker. Time will fail me to fully exhaust my thoughts on this, so I will close nonetheless. in Philippians 2 and then in verse 25. It says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor. So a worker in church is a companion in labor with the pastor. You are a companion in labor with your pastor, with your leaders. Notice something. You are not the reason why they can't labor well because you are now a distraction. No. You are rather the reason why their labor is more what? Effective, because you are what? A companion. A worker is a companion. Who is a companion? A teammate. A helper. He does not pull the team down. Are we together? He does not what? He does not pull down the team. Amen. I said amen. Now I know immediately some of you can relate, those of you that watch football. You can relate what I'm saying. A teammate. Right? A teammate. Now notice something. Who is a bad teammate? A bad teammate is the one that scores own goal. The guy that went to score own goal some time ago, what's his name again? If you mention his name, I'll remember. Maguire! It was Maguire! And he was Maguire. The guy went to score own goal. So was he own goal? Was he own goal? Alright. He scored own goal. That's a bad thing. See, this is also happening in church. There are church members and workers that score won't go. They score won't go. No, you don't score won't go. You take the ball to the enemy's net. Sorry. To the enemy's net. You don't score won't goes. And look at this on a team. Look at something with a team. Look at something about a team. Come to the front so you can all look at me. Look at something with a team. In a team, we all know something. That when we score, are we together? Are we together? When the striker scores, who gets the benefits? What do you use it? I'm looking for football register. Huh? Who gets the glory? That's the word. Who gets the glory when the striker scores? Is it the striker that gets the glory or the entire team? Including the keeper. Abby? So let's say there's a penalty. A penalty. I don't remember this guy. I can never forgive that guy. I forgive him in Christ. I don't forgive what he did. I will not forget. All right. That guy, Obafemi, many years ago, going to over a decade now. It was Yakubu. I was the guy. Then he and the coach just went, he just went to kick the ball to the side of the whatever. He was doing ski, and he could go up and do ski. Jesus, he was not ski, and he can't go and come on ski. I have some friends that betted. They are betted. They say, my square. Go to square. My boy, need 10 B. Yakubu, one left, one score, go ahead. One left, two, one score, go ahead. Yeah, there are people who do that in the church. You are a team member. When we score, the glory is for the whole church. And when we lose, the whole church what? Also lose together. So you are a companion. A companion bears that mindset. Are we together? That the victory of the church is his victory. Do you get it? Do you get it? That means as the church increases in number, it is whose victory? It is the church's victory. Are we together? The victory of the church is his victory. The setback of the church is also what? His setback. Are we together? Are we together? So he says, in Philippians 2, a fellow what? A fellow soldier. Sustratiotis. Because stratiotis talks about the war man, a soldier. Then you have the word soon. Philippians 2:25. It says a fellow soldier. You find the same thing in Philemon verse 2. In Philemon verse 2, it says, and our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow what? Soldier. Look at something now. The Archippus, he says, to take it to the ministry, the guy had now taken it to the world, to the ministry. Do you get it? So he says, he is our fellow soldier, and unto the church in thy house. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Colossians 4, verse 7. And all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. A faithful minister. A worker is a brother. A worker is a faithful minister. A worker is a fellow what? Servant. That is a worker. The word son, dolos. Son. Dolos is used for a servant, a born servant. So the word fellow, son. A servant together with us. Son, dolos. D-O-U-L-O-S. Dolos. In Colossians 1:7, I think you have the same thing. It says, as you learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. A worker is faithful. A worker is faithful. He's faithful to the doctrine of the church. He's faithful to the mission of the church. A worker does not travel from Ilorin and become something else in Lagos. A worker does not travel from Ogbomosho and become something else in Abuja. A worker is faithful. Faithful to the mission. A worker is not somebody that we send, oh, you plant a cell, and then the worker steals the cell. They steal the cell. You see churches where people steal churches. Ah, it's not only money people steal. Oh, I'm Ogbologbo. One G, Joe. Ogbologbo. Amen. They will go to hell. Are we together? They steal churches. Sorry. They steal the cell. A worker is faithful. A worker is faithful with church resources. We say, oh, this man is a cell assistant. We say, oh, we are having cell meeting. We don't have any of that in our church. We don't have. And I'm saying that we don't actually have, sincerely, we don't have record. We have asked severally. I've heard of it. And I've seen it in many places. We say, this man is a cell assistant or the assistant pastor. Or is the treasurer. Or is the one that has the job. We have been having meetings for the past couple of weeks. We now need money. We now go to the brother. I won't mention any brother because there's no brother like that here. Because, yeah, the money of the sellers is that's the old bones. Hey, they woke up. Hey, they leave me. Who they digest? And I Allahu Akbar. That is a thief. Only. A worker is not only. A worker does not use church resources for personal gratification. We say, oh, can we use the accommodation for meeting? Remember a time ago, we were using it as it was Sister Wumi's accommodation. And then I remember, several months ago, I got into the accommodation, and then I got into the accommodation, and then I saw the chairs were neatly packed in the corner. And I was like, and at that time, they were not, it was a hostel, you know, student hostel. I think they didn't have a chair of their own at that time. And by the time I walked in, and then I said that everything neatly stacked. They said, I said, it is faithful. So, but other people, it's your church, it's your own church, you never even talk. And you expect that your ministry will sit well. And we're together. You have used church resources to personally gratify yourself. And we're together. Use church, only church lights, to be away. They're using church bob to read for exams. A robot. It is not your own. That's what I'm saying. I'm not scaring you. Is it clear? It belongs to the Lord. You don't use that to sort personal issues. You leave church matters, church resources, for church uses.
That is faithfulness. Do not use, look at this, do not use church items, vessels, resources, privileges. Do not use it for personal things. At least not without permission. Is that clear, church? Is that clear, church? Is that clear, church? You don't do it. You don't do it. It belongs to the Lord. That is faithfulness. Faithfulness means to stick with the plan despite opposition. To stick to the plan despite challenges. And to stick to the plan despite occurrences of alternatives. Is that clear? Someone, two people have agreed that, we're going to get married, we're going to do this, and then down the line, the bride just begins to see one sister just comes in like this, with eyelashes that is weak in Christ. And then that brother says, and then your mind is now changing. You are not faithful. That is unfaithfulness. So you are faithful. And based on what I said now, you are also faithful with relationships. You are faithful with supernatural relationships. You are faithful with the church. I'm talking about church resources. You are faithful with it. You are faithful with the vision of the church. When we send you to Koinobili community to go and start the set, you don't say, this is Sunday morning, pastor will be on the pulpit. It will take at least 4 hours to get here. I can do what I like. No, you are not faithful. That's unfaithfulness. If we say it's a teaching meeting, don't start saying, today we are going to give word of knowledge. Everybody here. Let's do our life. No. It's a teaching meeting. Teach the word. If it's a prayer service or a prayer meeting, don't say, I know today is Wednesday, we're supposed to have a prayer meeting, but we are led to do concert. You are unfaithful person. It's a prayer meeting. Faithfulness means do not fail the trust that was committed to you. That was committed to you. Because in a local church, it's a common vision. It's a common goal. Nobody does his own thing. Are we together? Even me. In our church, I can't do my own thing. I can't do my own thing. I can't do my own thing. We have to stick with the mission. We have to stick with the purpose. We have to stick with the goal. You also find words like fellow soldier, yoke fellow, fellow laborer, fellow servant. In Romans 16, you see words like that. 1 Corinthians 8, in Philippians 2, you see several of those words. And that is descriptive of a worker. So what have we said? We said a worker is a disciple. So I end with what I started with. That in a local church, when we use the word worker, people usually say that, worker is this is described a set of people. No. By virtue of the new birth, every believer in the church is a worker. Is that okay? I understand that there's a church structure that helps people to move into depths of service. Based on the structure, we can say, let the people come around for 4 months, 3 months. They are well behaved. 5 months, 6 months. That's what we do actually. Taking to instructions, learning the word, participating in evangelism, being in prayer meetings, being in all meetings of the church, at the cell level, at the corporate level. Then they are taking general instructions. They have been trained and taught in practicing the culture of morning devotion. And they are well behaved. They are seen growing in understanding and perception of the knowledge of God's word as taught and trained in the church. Then we say, then let's induct them through a set of membership class sessions and let them be addressed and come into the workforce as a community. But look at this. The new birth itself is what makes the believer a worker or a potential worker in the church. So God's plan is that everybody that comes into church
becomes what? A worker. Is it clear? Is it clear? I know some places they will say, oh, if you want to join workforce, come and tell us. So you now have a mix of people. Those that are not ready to join the workforce. And those that feel that they join. No. In the church, we make you into a worker. You don't have such option. I say, why would I have option? Why would I have option? Many things, when it comes to the worship of God, are not really optional. A very good example is Mark 16. It says, go and preach the gospel. He that believes shall be saved. He that believes not. It makes it look as though you have an option to not believe. But if you are sensible, you know that that option is not really what? An option. The reason why it looks like an option is because God does not force his will on people. But there are options that when you take, thinking is an option, you are not in his plan. It means really, really, there was actually no option. And he does that. So in the church, it might look as though, oh, we have permitted some people to not join the workforce. No, it's not so. You are actually acting in rebellion. Or maybe you are not yet ready, but you are following through. Those are the two people. You have a people that are following through training. And after a while, we bring them into the workforce. They begin to serve as a worker in training in the church. Fulfilling the mission of Jesus for us. With us. Fulfilling alongside with us the mission of Jesus, the vision of Jesus for our local church. But there be yet a set of people, they are not taking training. They are not taking to instructions. They are not taking to this. They are not taking. No, we do not want that tribe to increase. God does not want that tribe to increase. God wants the tribe of faithful men to increase. We get people saved, we bring them in. People who knows nothing about serving God, we bring them into the church. And by taking instructions one after the other, sometimes they fall back, maybe we pull them back. We pray with them, we pray for them. We teach them. We check on them. We care for them. We rally around them. We strengthen them. We bring them up. We train them. We teach them again. We exhort again. And then, a little here, a little there, you begin to see a heart of service burn in them. They begin to burn for the Lord. They begin to burn for the Lord. They begin to burn for the Lord. They begin to make decisions that help them to be able to serve more. They begin to create room to serve God more and more. And that grows. That's what we call spiritual development. And after a while, we say, come into the workforce. Let's get into the depths of serving Jesus. So God's plan for you is to be a worker in this church. You are not yet serving the Lord as you should if you are not a worker in the church and a strong worker. And God's plan, as I close, is therefore multiplicity. In Acts 1, he says, it came to pass in those days that the number of disciples were multiplied. God's plan is multiplication, and we're having that multiplication. In August, September, October, November, December, we are having that multiplication, raising more workers. So workers for us are strong disciples, strong in the word, strong in the things of the spirit, strong in prayer, strong in raising disciples, strong in building the church. How do you build the church? You build the church through generosity. A strong worker is not stingy. Don't owe pledges to a stingy worker. Because there's nobody that is too poor to give. You are stingy. Strong worker does not owe pledges. No, he makes material commitments to the church. And he stays with it. He's faithful at it. A strong worker builds the church by walking in love. Don't spread news that will get people ill affected toward each other. Nobody in the church should be doing cho. When you see anybody in church doing cho, you are the devil in the assembly. You are the Satan in the assembly. You are the Satan's agent in the assembly. Say, I am not. Are we together? You don't spread information. Information that will not make somebody to bless another again. Information that ruins the image of somebody before another. No. Gossip must stop at your desk. When gossip gets to you, it stops at your desk. Because the Bible, the writer of Proverbs, explains gossip as the venom of a wasp. It circulates the entire body and stifles it and kills the move of life in the body. A strong worker builds the church also by walking in honor. Honor the things of God. Honor means to treat sacred things as sacred and to treat secular things as secular. Don't mix it. To honor the time of meeting by being there early, preparing beforehand. A worker, you are officiating, leading the prayer, leading the meeting. Sometimes alongside with your cell leader. You've been told to lead prayer alongside with your cell leader. You'll be asked to lead a particular group or lead an outreach group on a Saturday morning or in the week or take a particular younger disciple to pray. You do it faithfully. You walk in honor. You treat meeting times as honorable. You treat church materials as honorable. Privileges given to you, you don't abuse it. Don't, because you are discipling somebody, be sending the person on errand. No. There's nothing wrong in a disciple assisting in one or two ways, but they are not your servants. No. I don't do that. You will never see me do that. You will never see me. Nobody has ever seen me do that. Then your disciples are not your errand boys. Errand boys. No. Your disciple is not your boy. Your disciple is a fellow minister of the gospel. Is that clear, church? Honor relationships. Honor and treasure your relationship with your leader. Let nothing come in between you and your leader. Nothing. There are relationships you must struggle to keep. Not there, I don't know why I'm struggling in this relationship. No, 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 no. Whatever needs to be sustained, you must toil at it. There are relationships you must struggle to keep. Because it is valuable. Because the cost of not having them weighs greater. Are we together? Than the cost of maintaining it. Glory to God forevermore. A strong worker builds the church by always being full of the Spirit. A strong worker. He builds the church through prayer. He builds the church through walking in love. 2. He builds the church through walking in honor. 3. He builds the church through generosity with material things. 4. And lastly, the strong worker builds the church by always staying full of the Spirit. What does it mean to be full of the Spirit? To be full of the vision of Jesus for the church. He says, be not wise. He says, walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly rather. Not as fools, not as wise, but as wise. It didn't be the time because the days are evil. He says, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but filled with the Spirit. He talks about understanding the will of the Lord. He says, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Understanding the will of the Lord at all times is how we stay with the Spirit. As we go, keep these words to heart. And every word of prophecy that you have also received, a strong worker, 6, pays attention to the prophecies of the church. Don't go about scouting for prophecies. I have warned you. They will distract you and put you in confusion. Don't go about scouting for prophecies from different people all over the body of Christ. It is a sign that you are not growing. There are specific prophecies that you are supposed to pay attention to. To war with. What does it mean to war with? To put them in prayers. To put them in songs. You must have personal songs in your own life. Songs that you yourself created that contain those words of prophecies and instructions. Strong worker. Builds the church, 1. Through what? A strong prayer life. He builds the church, 2. Through what? Walking in love. He builds the church through walking in honor. 3, 4. He builds the church through what? Generosity. 5. He builds the church through what? Being full of the Spirit. He builds the church by warring with prophecies. Are we together, church? And abuse the church, lastly, through availability. Be available. Be available for all that the Spirit of God will have you do. And watch God fix all that concerns you. There were some of us months ago, you were so bothered about getting an engagement, and I told you, I said job will come. Some of you didn't believe until jobs rolled in. Jobs rolled in. I told you some areas will be fixed. You didn't believe until they were fixed. Are we together? Be available. Don't let a natural need take you out of where God has asked you to be. Pay attention to the plan of God. The people, the place, and the activities. The people, the place, and the activities. Pay attention. And we trust the living God. That he yet sits on his throne, everlasting. It will be the Lord walking with, confirming the word with signs following. I pray for you in this conference, as we close, that you will not be lost. I pray for everyone here in this conference that your hearts will not lose fervency. I pray for you that the things that the Lord has shown you, you will lay hands on all of it. I pray for you that your faithfulness is kept. Your heart is kept steady. Your heart is kept fervent. I pray for you that you have multiplicity of God's grace. You have abundance of revelation. You have increase in the workings of the things of the Spirit in your life and in your ministry. I pray for you that in the natural your needs are met. Your bodily health is kept and the health of your loved ones are kept. I pray for you that you are preserved in God's plan. Your feet is steady in the path of God's plan. Your feet are swift in the path of God's plan. And that which you have laid hold of, nothing collects from you. I pray for you in this conference as we close, that in the coming year you will be found, not here alone or empty, not one, not here as one who needs to be restored, not here as one who needs to be refired. Nope. Not here as one who needs to be led again as in the basic things that he ought to have learned and has grown. No. But you'll be here with a full measure. You will be here with a greater measure. You will be here in a greater measure. You will be here with a greater measure. You will be here with a greater measure. You will be here with a greater measure. I speak over you now that your hands are full of God's oil. And whatever you lay hold on is effectively done. As you lay hold on men to disciple, they are effectively discipled. As you step out to teach God's word, men are effectively taught. As you set out to disciple men, they are effectively discipled. Your fervency is not lost. Your steadfastness is not lost. Your reward is not lost. You have increase and multiplication in the name of Jesus. And I speak over you lastly, that nothing dies in your hands. Nothing is feeble in your hands. Nothing is weakened in your hands. You have multiplicity and you have increase. It is by the word and by the Spirit, and the name of our Lord is glorified. The name of our Father is glorified in your life, in your choices, in your decisions. He is glorified. He is glorified. Jesus is exalted. Jesus is known in you. He is known through you. As you reach the nations, He is rich through you. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Just hold someone, stand to your feet and pray together as we close this prayer. Just pray. Just pray a few minutes together. Pray for yourself, pray for yourself. Nothing dies in your hands. Your businesses do not die. No business dies here. Amen.